great reminder.
That word solace or solace just means at peace with God. How many of us today are at peace with our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ? Amen. Hallelujah. He is the Prince of Peace. And my friends, He's coming again, but He today is our friend. But He is also a God of purpose and of righteousness. And He has stooped down to us again through His work on the cross because He loves us that much. He is faithful to us. How is our faith towards Him today, friends? I trust and pray that we all would see our faith increase in the days to come. Well, greetings in His name this morning, and what a wonderful day it is to gather on the first day of the week. As the tradition goes from the early believers that celebrated the resurrection of Jesus Christ, that's why we should be excited to come here today and to worship the Lord. I trust and hope that everyone is excited today about Him, because it's all about Him today, folks. And I just pray that this world would catch on fire with the fire of the Holy Spirit and would come to acknowledge today as a day to give glory to God and give thanks to Him and honor Him and to worship Him in spirit and in truth. So as we prepare this morning, may our hearts be in that very mode today of spirit and in truth. May this not be a mask-wearing session. But you remember President Reagan said to Mr. Gorbachev, tear down this wall. And so I say to us, let's pull off the mask. Let's get real with God today and worship Him with the trueness of our heart. And if it isn't true, don't wear a mask. Don't be a hypocrite. But let's get it right today. Welcome again in Jesus' name. The title of our message today, it's a two-part message at least, but it's all about timing and prophecy, why both of Jesus' advents will have been missed due to mankind's negligence. May the Lord help us today not to be negligent about what He has given us in His Word and the prophetic warnings and the timing of the events that are to come. May we get it right even this day. So, as I welcome you, we're going to go to prayer, because isn't that what the song said here just a minute ago? If we're weak and heavy laden, cumbered with a load of care, precious Savior, still our refuge, take it to the Lord in prayer. We'll take just a few moments here of silent prayer. Again, may we adjust our hearts to worship Him this morning in spirit and in truth. May we let Him know today in this prayer and during this time together today as we examine the power of His Word, how we see Him as worthy and awesome and important today in our lives. Let's do that together and then we'll proceed. Our loving Father in heaven, we come today humbly yet with enthusiasm and excitement before Your throne through the venue and power of prayer made possible through the power of the Holy Spirit and the work of Your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, and His intercession on our behalf before Your throne. Thank You today, Lord Jesus, for grace and mercy that came through You, the truth. And we thank You today, Lord, for this opportunity to corporately come to worship. And that, Lord, again, is a time where we gather as the local church. Historically, it's been on the first day of the week to commemorate Your resurrection power. And, Lord, it's a day that we need to remove our masks and bow before You today and really tell You what we think about You, Lord. And I want to tell You today, You're an awesome God. When we stop and let all this stuff that goes around us here in the world and in the flesh, when we put that aside and look into Your face, Lord, You're a wonderful God. Thank You, Jesus, for not only being the God who is capable and worthy of coming to pay the sacrifice for our sins, but also the one who did it, Lord, out of love for us. We're going to commemorate that later today in something You asked us to do, to remember Your body and blood in a vivid way. Thank You, Jesus, for what You did for us on that cross. Now, Lord, everything is about You. May we get that right in our hearts today. When we talk about history, we know that all events, both past and yet to come, will revolve around You, Lord Jesus. You are the center of our universe. As the Son that you created, you're the Son of God, the center of the universe. And so, Lord, help us to get it right. Help us to look deeply into your eyes today and to see you for who you are and to see your plan revealed before us. Now, I thank you for all that have come through our doors today. I thank you for the ministry that you and responsibilities that you've given to Fruitland Baptist Church. Lord, I pray that our people might be solidly convicted of your desires for us, of your patience with us, your grace. Lord, that we would see this church become very dynamic and a motivating and a ministering force in this area for you. Lord, I thank you for those you've sent through the doors, whether they be visiting or if they're regulars here. But Lord, I pray for those who did not come through our doors today, whether they be people associated here with Fruitland that may be wearing the masks today of hypocrisy, Lord, or if there's genuine needs. And I know in some lives there are, Lord, but many today made a choice about you. But I pray today, Lord, for our community around us, for the people passing by today. I pray that your Spirit might convict someone as they drive by today and see us meeting, that they turn their car right in here and come in with us yet today, Lord. We pray for our community. Lord, we realize the value of a soul, and you died for every soul potentially, Lord, to be saved. Help us, Lord, to have concern and love for those around us. Now, Lord, I pray you'd bless the message today. It is grounded in your word, that we take it seriously and you'd help this poor fool to bring it forth. Lord, it's a privilege. I've really been excited to preach it today. And I pray, Lord, again, that this might be something today that will work and be used of the Spirit in the hearts of the people. So, Lord, we know there's all kinds of turmoil around us, but in you there is peace. And we thank you that you are and can be the Prince of Peace in our lives today, if we'll but let you. Now may this time be found pleasing in your sight. I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Two things I need to mention before we start this morning, and I don't know if we've got a slide up here, but I also just want to remind us of some of the excitement and the focus that we're going to be making on Sunday school and the value that it has, again, for the personal walk of people, and specifically Christians. But if you would be an unbeliever or no unbelievers, we will have a class here starting after the first of the year called The Inquisitors. And if you want to know more about the Christian faith, you want to know more about the Bible, this is a very low impact study where you can come and we'll look into all those issues. Any issues that you have, we'll have on the table in a non-confrontational environment to, again, not belittle anyone for their wisdom or their lack of wisdom, but to learn and grow together. But we also have some plans to revitalize other parts of our Sunday school. And so I pray that you'll be thinking along those lines and praying yourself. But I want to encourage people to get out for Sunday school. I don't want you to miss the value that can be had there. As the days go by, we're going to be talking a little more about this in our quarterly business meeting, but some of our people that are in key positions here to facilitate Sunday school are going to be speaking with all of us here as the days and weeks go by. But there is no one that's neglected here for that potential opportunity. So we'd like to see our numbers grow, not for the sake of numbers so that we can come in and say we had X amount of people here, but even if there's one more person than normal that comes, we're going to be excited for what God will do when we get into the Word. Now, I'll tell you right now, some people I may be coming to personally and saying, I want you to come to this class. And you need to pray about it and think about it. But I'm excited for what God can do. And don't you think we need to see that as a time that's used for value? Amen. I think it's very important. And don't be discouraged, folks, about numbers, by the way. Be encouraged for who God's working in their personal lives. And there's opportunities galore here to stand for Him. Now, with that said, I don't think we did have a slide today, but we do need to meet our committee that has been commissioned to work on Sunday school. Has a choice, either to meet sometime this evening or Wednesday evening. And we need to just finalize a couple of details yet before this week passes by. Anyway, Doug, I have one question for you, and then I'm going to roll. Did you get them tied down at Lutheran Homes? Which day we're going to?
Yeah, it'll be next Sunday.
Okay, so we want to be sure we're not confused on that. And what time will it be?
Yeah, well, it's 2:30. I told him the 10th. He announced it at 2:30.
Okay, I thought I saw on the slide both, but I wanted to be sure. So 2:30, and that's next Sunday at the Lutheran Homes. All right, for that ministry. And then caroling was posted up there as well and in your bulletins. Okay, are we all done? Anything else we need to announce? You're welcome out at our house next Saturday night. And come on out. I'm sure Kim has good things planned. For food, anyway. Anyway, friends in Christ, and good morning to everyone again. Yeah, God's given us a beautiful day. You know, it was snowing this morning just after daylight. Yeah, and good to see a good group out today. I know some of you have been battling with physical ailments, and praise God, I still see you, some of you here that have been, and God's recovered you. Give Him glory for that today. But friends in Christ, as we are now in the time of year that is commonly associated with remembering and celebrating the first Advent, Advent means appearing, of Jesus. By the way, help me out in this class. What does the name Jesus mean? Jehovah saves. Very good. Good. I know there's some people that are students here this morning. His first appearance on earth in the flesh was what is known as his first advent. And of course, he came as the babe of Bethlehem. I'm led, though, this morning to cause us also to consider his second advent. Jesus is coming again, folks. And we can say amen to that, and I agree, but we better know what's going on. Because we are in a serious time, as all times are, in how we approach Jesus Christ. Okay? And I hope to illustrate that to us today. Because, as I said, there's going to be a lot of people that are going to miss both of them for the reason that they exist, but they will endure that in their ignorance. God forbid that we are ignorant of the Lord today. Because let me tell you this, folks, if we're ignorant of the Lord, it's our fault. The Bible doesn't say you can blame your pastor, even though the pastor may have a part in that. I hope to do the best I can to bring you the word. But ultimately, it is your fault and mine if we miss the advents of Christ in our life and understand the importance of them. Anyway, his second advent, that no one today be unaware of its significance to mankind through ignorance of prophecy and timing that God has displayed plainly. Folks, we need to be a student of the Word. He's given us the answers, and we need to seek those out. All events in history, by the way, history is His story. All events and history surround Jesus, and when we take our eyes off Him and are distracted, we will miss critical information available for our benefit. So what is going on while we are looking away from Jesus? That's a question I've asked myself many times. When I've taken my eyes off of Him, what's replaced that? And folks, in my life, it's not been good. I don't know about yours. But you know what? We always ought to be looking for what we're missing. Now, some of you have heard me say this before. As I age, I spend a lot more time looking for things that I miss. You wouldn't know the times I've gone to Farm and Fleet or other places because I couldn't find. Kim just pulled some. You know, we're removing our mask at the house this week to have you folks come out so you won't judge us. Kim is pulling things out. I had to go buy a new syringe to vaccinate some cattle here a week or so ago. Kim shows up yesterday with a pan and said, "What is this?" I said, "It's a syringe that I've been looking for. And here's another one I had to buy last week for $9. Well, you can respond, dear.
Okay, but where did I find it?
In the library. What's that, Kay? Very well read.
I found needles too.
You know what? I'm going to take the mat. We had a discussion in men's Bible study yesterday about hypocrisy. I'm going to tell you why things are in that library, and I'm not blaming Kim or myself, but our hecticity of life is there was probably some event or someone that was coming, and tell the truth, Kim. Kim had to throw it somewhere quick to get it out of the way. Anyway, Marlon asked if he could go through our closets. There he is. I don't care, Marlon, but like I said, if stuff falls out, you're picking it up, and I'll be over to yours next, so, yeah. What's that, Ginger? We better move on. I see some people in high places giving me a dirty look, so, anyway. But seriously, what are we missing? I don't have it together, folks. And I can tell you that you don't either. But what I do want to tell us both is what? We can improve. We should improve. By the way, we shouldn't forsake this day of gathering and the proclamation of the word. Folks, the things we miss are going to come up to bite us. Anyway, what are we missing? What did the world miss when Jesus came the first time, and why? There's a question I hope to answer for us today and in the upcoming days, but you know how to search for it as well. And like I said earlier, Jesus is coming again, but folks, he's not coming again as the babe in the manger. I'll explain that this morning. He's coming as the conquering king. He came the first time in grace. He's coming the second time in judgment. You can take it to the bank. We better know what's going on. And I want to say this, he will not come a third time. Yeah. So let's consider a few things this morning. We'll get along as best we can here. I've always got a lot to say. Anyway, first point, this is our whole point today. God's timing is revealed in prophecy and confirmed in history of the first advent. God's timing is revealed in prophecy and confirmed in history of the first advent, the first appearing of Jesus Christ. You don't need to turn there this morning, but I just want to point this out to you. The first place in the Bible that Jesus appeared and his prophecy of his first advent, Genesis 3:15. We won't turn there. You can if you want, but it's called the Proto-Evangelium. Proto-Evangelium. And what it is, it's showing that after man fell into sin, God was going to send a deliverer, and he was going to send that deliverer through a woman, a virgin. And Satan would bruise his heel, but he would crush Satan's head. And that's what Jesus did on the cross. Satan drove spikes through his heel as he bore our sins on Calvary's cross. But Jesus crushed Satan in victory when he overcame the bearing of our sin and the suffering that we deserved and died for it and bled on that cross. And he was placed in a tomb and he rose in victory on the third day. Hallelujah. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. That's what it's all about, folks, right there. The Proto-Evangelium, 3:15. So it's found there, folks, right from the get-go. I want you to turn on your Bibles or on your devices today to the book of Isaiah. We're going to go through these things very rapidly. And I'll have some things to say about this. But the first place I'd like to take us is Isaiah 14. But let me just say this. There is no book in the Bible, I'm confident of this, that does not talk about Jesus Christ, God's Messiah. Either pointing to the cross or pointing back to the cross. This is all about him, friends. And let me just say this, the book of Isaiah, and I didn't do the perfect math on this, and we can't come up with perfect math on years, but we know this, that the book of Isaiah, the prophet Isaiah, wrote about the coming Messiah 700 plus years before Jesus came as that babe in Bethlehem. Is 700 years enough time? The book of Genesis was probably written roughly 6,000 to 8,000 years ago. Well, it wasn't written then, but that the events that occurred there with creation. And yes, I'm a young earth creationist. I don't think we're over 10,000 years old, folks, if that. Okay? God has a program. By the way, most of the boring things in the Bible, the genealogies, they're not boring because they confirm the generational pattern and calendar of mankind. And they do, Lonnie, and they give an approximation of how old this all is. Okay? Nothing is insignificant in God's Word. Isaiah 7:14, 700 plus years before Christ came, the prophet Isaiah, and he's just one of the places, like I said, all the books, you read them. Jesus is the center of that. But he specifically said, therefore, the Lord himself shall give you a sign. By the way, signs are one of the most ignored things that you can have. How many of you have gotten a speeding ticket? I've told you about mine. There again, I tell you how it is. We don't pay attention to things that are right before us, do we? How many things have happened when we don't read or pay attention to signs? A sign is what? It's a notification. Yeah, it's a posted fact about something that is going to have significance in our lives. Therefore, the Lord himself, Isaiah says, shall give you a sign. He's saying God's going to give you a plain sign, and here's what that sign's going to be. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son. And what he's talking about here is that Jesus, his first advent was going to come in a special way. He's going to be born of a woman who had no human contact or human conception. Yep. It's going to be a miracle of God. And we know this. It's the only way it could have been. But guess what happened? The Virgin Mary was found with child, conceived of the Holy Ghost. A miracle. See? And this is what God said was going to happen. But what are people doing there? Well, even Joseph, you know, and Joseph was a good guy. But Joseph wondered about that too till the angel told him, don't fear, Joseph, this is of God. Because they were thinking the wrong things here. They were missing what God had delivered. Behold, the Lord will give you a sign. A virgin shall conceive and bear a son and shall call his name Emmanuel, God with us, is what that means. You go right down the line in the book of Isaiah, chapter 9, verses 1 through 7, if you'll allow me this morning to take time to read these quickly. Isaiah chapter 9, 1 through 7. Nevertheless, the dimness shall not be such as was in her vexation. He's talking here about Israel that had been taken captive, the northern 10 tribes by Assyria. And when at the first he lightly afflicted the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali, and afterward did more grievously afflict her by the way of the sea beyond Jordan and Galilee of the nations. The people that walked in darkness have seen great light. They that dwell in the land of the shadow of death, upon them hath the light shined. God's going to shine his light of goodness and mercy on Israel. The question is, did the people recognize the light? He goes on and says, thou hast multiplied the nations and not increased the joy. The joy before thee according to the joy in harvest, and as men rejoice when they divide the spoil. Israel was in terrible straits when God sent the Messiah. You know, sometimes God works in the depths of the valleys, but he also works on the highs of the mountains. But that's what he did for Israel. Israel rejected his ways, but God did not forsake Israel forever. He let them go through the things that were brought upon by their sin, but he sent light into the darkness through the Messiah. Verse 4, for thou hast broken the yoke of his burden and the staff of his shoulder, the rod of his oppressor, as in the days of Midian. God was telling Israel, there is going to be freedom offered to you in my son Jesus Christ. Freedom from bondage, freedom from persecution and the things that have taken place because of your lack of walking with me. For every battle of the warrior is with confused noise and garments rolled in blood. But this shall be with burning and fuel of fire, for unto us is born a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace, there shall be no end. This was not a human thing, folks. This was a divine salvation for Israel that's been transferred to us because of Israel's lack of reception. Praise God that he thought about those who were not the Israelites as well. It was in his divine plan. The Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace, and of the increase of his government and peace, there shall be no end. That's Jesus, folks. That's what he brought in his first advent upon the throne of David and upon his kingdom to order it and to establish it with judgment, with justice, from henceforth, even forever. The zeal of the Lord of hosts might come through on this. He will do it. He's going to do it. He did it. And because he came once, he'll come again, just as he said. By the way, did you notice there, where did I miss it? I read it, but folks, we ought to be joyful because Jesus brought joy to this world in his first advent. Well, you don't need to turn there either, but I'm just giving you a few things. Isaiah 53 tells the whole story. By the way, it's been removed from the Hebrew Bibles or tinkered with because they don't want to acknowledge history, Jesus. You can read about all of it. Jesus was the Lamb of God. As he was brought a sheep that is dumb before his shearers, that's how Jesus came. He didn't say a word. He came to do the will of his Father because he loved us. You can read all that. But I'd like you to turn now, again, and there's prophecy is the first advent all through Scripture. Let's go to the book of John, chapter 1. John, chapter 1. And here again, we find the Apostle John writing about after his eyes had been opened and through the inspiration of the Holy Spirit about the person of Jesus Christ, the Messiah. By the way, Messiah means God's anointed. God's purposely sent one. Jesus was sent on a mission. By the way, he calls us to be on mission for him. John chapter 1, verses 1 through 13. Here's what John says. In the beginning was the Word. I could preach on this for weeks. I need to get back into the book of John more. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Word means logos. That's the babe in the manger. That's Jesus, the God-man. Those that saw him in person saw God in the flesh. And we see him through the lens of history, but we know that he also works in our lives, and we can see him today. And he's present with us today. Right, Jesus? Because where two or more are gathered in his name, there he is with us. Is he with you today? The same was in the beginning with God. You see, it explains the whole thing right there. Jesus was sent of God. He is God. He was sent for one purpose, to make atonement for the sins of the world, that people might be reunited with God in fellowship. Praise God for that today. All things were made by him. Jesus is not only the Messiah and the Savior, he's the Creator. He spoke the world. That's found in Genesis 1:1. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men, just like Isaiah said. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness, read it to me, class. Oh, I didn't get that. I understand that, folks, but that's the point. See, Jesus was sent as the light. God showed that he'd be coming. He gave the signs. People missed it. You see, Israel didn't comprehend it. People today don't comprehend the first advent. But if you don't understand the first advent, you won't understand why and how the second advent's going to come upon us. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. Lonnie, you mentioned him in the opening of Sunday school today. John the Baptist. Yep. Mary's cousin Elizabeth and Zacharias' son. Another miracle of God. You could read that. The same came for a witness to bear witness of the light that all men through him might believe and be saved, obviously. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. By the way, John the Baptist was a reflector of the light of God, who is Jesus. He was called to prepare the way to go out and speak the truth. And I might add, everyone usually that speaks the truth for the Lord is one that's going to be unconventional and many times unaccepted because people can't see. They're blind. Open our eyes today, folks. See what God has there for us. That was the true light which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. By the way, we all bear the light of God in our lives. We sing that song, "Hide it under a bushel, no, this little light of mine." We could sing that this morning, but we have time constraints. You can sing it in your mind here this morning. But let me tell you something. Our created being shows the light of the world, who is God. We were created in the image of God, folks. And we bear His image. We are created in light. He was in the world, and here it is again. And the world was made by Him. And this is going on right today. And the world does not know Him. He came unto His own. That's the Israelites. And His own received Him not. But, and as I always say, thank the Lord for buts. Someone dropped their jaw one time when I said that. Leah, remember my question to the ag class that day? Who was the first, or who was the ag secretary under Richard Nixon? And you don't remember. It was Earl Butts. Huh? And your dear mother tried to answer that question, and she says, "How's that spelled? B-U-T-T-S?" I said, "No, it's B-U-T-Z. I know some of you didn't take that as being. Come to ag class. Well, but as many as received Him, gave He power. To them gave He power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on His name." Are you a child of God today because of Jesus? If not, you can be. That's why He came. "Which were born not of blood, not of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God." That's a new birth that's talked about two chapters ahead in chapter 3. That's when we're reborn from our fleshly being that is in darkness into the light of God through Jesus Christ. We become a new creature in Christ. Hallelujah, amen. "And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us." Was I going to stop there? Yeah, with 13. "And we beheld His glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth." Jesus was here, folks. And He's going to come again. Who's going to miss Him? Here's something to consider as we prepare for communion. Jesus came at the depths of Israel's despair. God came at a time, sent Jesus at a time when Israel was separated from God for 400 years. You know, Israel is the wife of God. God did not divorce Israel. God is never in favor of divorce, but God separated them for 400 years and didn't even speak to Israel for 400 years between Malachi and Matthew. Why are you looking at that, Kent? I don't think we've ever not spoken. The library. I think we need to spend more time in there, Kim. Well, I'm going to be spending time this week. I have to work on the ceiling. So, we need to be spending more time in God's library. Is the old rocking chair still in there? I might sit on it sometime. Sit down and get close to Jesus, folks. He came right on time for Israel because they were in the worst situation they could be in. By the way, go to Galatians 4, 4 through 5 real quickly. Galatians 4, 4 through 5. Galatians 4, 4 through 5. But, Marcos, I even got a laugh out of you on that. But, when the fullness of time, what is the fullness of time? It's the apex of a situation. The most critical juncture of a given situation. We call it, there's no one here named Nick this morning, coming in the nick of time. You could illustrate that with that point. Where was I at? Oh, yeah, four. But when the fullness of time was come, God did nothing. God sent forth His Son, made of a woman under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. And because you are sons, God has sent forth His Spirit, the Spirit of His Son, into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father. We have a daddy who loves us and takes us in His arms because of Jesus Christ coming right on time for Israel. But sadly, even what we see going on today in the Middle East is a result of people missing Jesus in the first advent. He came, again, because of grace. Their focus in that day was on a Messiah coming in judgment on the Roman Empire who had oppressed them. But they missed it because Jesus came in grace. Today, we want Jesus' grace, but He's coming in judgment. It's a dichotomy of facts here, folks, and what people want. People are usually on the wrong side of what they want, but God is always right there at the right time, every time, the fullness of time. He came in grace. They were looking for judgment. He's coming in judgment. People today are looking for His grace. He died to pay the price for our sins and shed His blood to cover our sins. And that's what we're talking about with communion today. He rose in triumph over death as our prototype, alive forevermore, and ascended back to His Father, awaiting His second advent, or coming appearing on earth for the second time. God's prophetic timing is mentioned many places in Scripture, and it's more than we could ever do from this pulpit in a lifetime to touch on every one of those. But we can on our own accomplish much of that. Some things to consider as we prepare to go to communion to remember Jesus in His first advent. By the way, next week we have a second point. The second advent is also revealed in prophecy and confirmed in history, revealed and not yet to be revealed. We'll study that next week so that we don't miss any of these things. But let me finish with this. These are things to consider. Jesus came, I believe, on the basis of what the Word of God teaches us and the timing that's given in Scripture. He came at the time called the Feast of Tabernacles. You've heard this from me before. I don't come up here and tell you things that are wrong, but I tell you to consider these things. Jesus wasn't born in December. You know that. You know this whole thing that's been triped up of Christmas. While it's not wrong to celebrate the birth, He was born in late September or early October. Bible reveals all that. So be careful about that kind of thing. Always understand the truth of what's going on. He was born during the Feast of Tabernacles. Tabernacles symbolizes the presence of God among men. By the way, when He comes back in the second advent, and we'll look at that more next week, He's probably going to be back again, according to the Jewish feast. He is coming back again, according to the Jewish feast listed in Leviticus 23, which you might want to read. When He's back with man again in the millennial kingdom, after the second advent, it's going to be the Feast of Tabernacles. That's the order it comes in, folks. Study your Bibles. Hear what God has to tell us. It's not wrong to celebrate His birth anytime, but the Bible, I want to give us this thought. He says we're only ordered, commanded to memorialize His death and shedding of blood to atone for our sins. That's what we're going to do this morning. That's what it says. That's, he had to come, but this is why he came. It's that simple. People can accept the focus on the birth of a beautiful baby. It's a really good account. It's not a story, it's reality. But it's much more consumable to think about the babe in the manger than to think about the blood on the cross. But both are there. I ask us this morning, have you missed the first advent, purposed and prophesied and proven in the birth and confirmation of Jesus, Jehovah saves, in the history of the cross? Jesus came to go to the cross. That's why his first advent came. And most people missed it, but a few did. And so I believe this today in our lives, his first advent has either been accepted and confirmed in your life today, or it has been missed due to your ignorance, negligence, and misinformation. Truth. And you know as well as I have told you for many years, don't accept what I say, prove what I say. And help me to get it right. Investigate the truth. Because Jesus said this, the truth will what? It will set you free. And if you be free, you will be free indeed. Jesus came to release us from the bondage. So my thing today is this. Consider and investigate today how this all fits together. You can't miss the first advent. If you miss that, you'll miss the second. They're connected. Next week, we'll look at how all this fits together and what's coming. But right now, we're going to do what Jesus said. By the way, he said, do this. Meaning what? Do it in remembrance of me. He didn't say have a religious ceremony. He said, vividly be reminded and understand what I did for you on the cross and why I was sent as that babe in the manger. Deacons, come on up. We're going to celebrate today and commemorate Christ in his body and his blood and what he did for us on Calvary's cross. Question of why Jesus commanded that, this do, a direct commandment, often comes to mind. I mean, obviously there are times that we're commanded not to participate in it, which I have mentioned before. But Jesus wants us to ever be mindful of his love for us, his steadfast love for us, and what he did on the cross. My friends, think of it. God in the flesh had to come and pay. How many people are in the world today? Around 8 billion? This is one for your head. How many people have lived so far on this planet? Billions and billions of people. And there's more to come. And Jesus went to that cross to pay the penalty and be the sacrificial lamb for the sins of mankind. For all who will what? Receive him. So Jesus says this is important, and especially as we gather as the local church. He wants us to be ever mindful that we don't miss the advents. That's what it's all about. And what we have symbolized here is a small cracker. It's a piece of bread. We'll see that in just a minute from Paul's rendition of what was said by Jesus in the upper room. But this cracker is a piece of unleavened bread. It's a piece of sinless, leaven being the site of sin, representing Christ in his sinless body, which was broken for us. It's symbolic. And then we have the cup that represents his blood. It is not his blood. Neither of these turn into his blood. They are representatives, that icons that cause us to think. His blood was sinless as well. It had to be to cover our dirty blood. It's a superior sacrifice given for us, a perfect sacrifice from the Lord himself. It's symbolized with fruit of the vine, which is what Jesus used when he instituted the Lord's Supper. By the way, he did not cut himself and shed his blood into a cup for them to drink. He was saying he was going to do that on the cross, not to drink it, but to cover our sins. The perfect blood for the imperfect. That's what this is all about. It's a reminder in vivid icons of Christ's first advent and why he came and that he is coming again. So today I'm going to ask Brother Denny Wheeler, as I pass him symbolism of Christ's body, to share with him today in prayer and maybe some things with the group here, Denny.
Yeah, I do have
about you. I knew you would. He's the preacher.
But anyway, a prayer for all of us comes out of Psalms 139. Search me, O God, know my heart, test me, and know my anxious thoughts. See if there is any offensive way in me, and lead me into the way of everlasting. So, our Father, again, we thank you for your goodness and a time to rejoice, Lord.
Yes.
And to share joy with one another because of what Jesus come to do, Lord, to take our place and to suffer and die for us. But also, Lord, we think of those that don't know you, Lord, that will be separated from you forever. Oh, Lord,
mm-hmm.
have mercy on us.
Yeah.
All of us, Lord, that fail to speak the word to someone that don't know you. Oh, Lord, we need your help. We need your help every day, Lord. So, Lord, change us, Father. Make us more like Jesus. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Again, you know that Paul warned the Corinthians about wrongly being involved in this. And I've taught on it before, and if you have questions, I have it again. But this is something that's very important. And the first thing is, if we don't know Christ as our Savior, we have no basis in this. And it's just an action that we go through. And if we are saved and have been bought by His blood, the sins that He hung on the cross for and bore in His body, we ought to be careful not to receive it unworthily either. And of course, if there's something we have in our lives between God or one another, fellow believers, it's better to pass us by and to rectify that problem. But for those today that are able to take this, remembering what Jesus did, this is what Jesus said in the upper room after He'd given thanks. He said, "Take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In like manner also, He took the cup Lonnie, I'm going to give you the privilege today as we look at the symbolic evidence of Christ's blood that he shed for us to cover our tainted blood. Atonement, that's what that's called. Lonnie, would you thank him today for what he has done?
Father, thank you for the sacrifice of your Son for our sin. Thank you, Father, that it was your love and your mercy bestowed upon us through him. Thank you, Lord, that he accepted that, that he made his body sacrifice for us. Lord, we talk of the brutal beating that he went through, the ultimate crucifixion on the cross. But Lord, it's all about the risen, the day he rose from the dead. Thank you that we can have victory over sin through him. Thank you, Lord, first of all, that he had victory over sin. As we remember today, Lord, we partake of the bread and now the cup, Lord. He died for all our sin, Lord, all of us. He became sacrifice for us. Please, Lord, just help us remember and know what we're doing. Thank you for this time. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. This good news in Jesus' blood was shared there, what was to come there in the upper room. And when he took the cup, he supped. After they had supped, he said, "This cup is the new testament or new covenant or the new agreement that's guaranteed in my blood." That's what he told them. "This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." As you also know, it was customary, and by the way, I think, sure, Judas was present at these things. There could be a Judas present today, God forbid. But you know, Jesus and these guys had great fellowship. And when they completed their meals, they often sang a hymn. It's recorded in Scripture. So if you're able today and willing to unite, let's join hands in the center aisle as we leave today and sing, "Blessed Be the Tie That Binds." And then we'll be dismissed with the Aaronic blessing. "Blessed be the tie that binds our hearts in Christian love, fellowship, kindred minds is like to that of..." May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. May the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you his peace both now and forevermore. In Jesus' name, amen. You are dismissed. Thank you, guys.